Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Connect Church. Hello to family and friends and members. We are super excited that you tuned in to us this morning and that you decided to spend your Sunday morning with us. So welcome. We are so glad that you're here. Before we hop into the Word, I just have two quick announcements. First off, don't be a stranger, okay? Follow us on Instagram, on Facebook, subscribe to us on YouTube. There you can see all the different sermons and sermon series we have. You can catch up on sermon series. So use that as a tool to feed your spirit, okay? Faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. So use that to grow your faith. Secondly, don't forget to check in, okay? A check-in can save a life. Do not underestimate the power of your check-in. We have heard many testimonies of how people have come to know God because someone checked into church, all right? So don't underestimate that. Secondly, your generosity makes a difference. Go to www.connectchurchla.com and click the button Give. And guess what? We even dropped the link for you at the bottom in the About section. And thank you to all those who have been giving and who are continuing to give even during this time. We have so many awesome things planned. We just had a meeting the other day, and we're super excited to share with you all the things that are unfolding and how we plan to impact our community. So join us and be a part of how we make a difference. I'm super excited for the sermon series that Daniel has planned. It is amazing. So stay tuned, and I hope that this message blesses your heart.
Well, welcome to Connect Church Online. We are excited that you're taking time out of your morning just to spend with us and just check us out and just get encouraged. We know there's a lot going on in the world right now, a lot of uncertainty, and really we're kind of in this place where nobody can really tell you what's going to happen next. I mean, even experts are coming on the news and talking about this thing on a regular basis, and we're kind of just in this place where, man, we don't know. There's so much uncertainty, and what I kind of want to do this morning is I want to give a word. I want to talk to you guys about this entire pandemic, about COVID, about everything that we're going through, and I want to kind of talk about it from a perspective of faith. Today, if you look around, if you open up any app, if you turn on the news, if you turn on any amount of social media on your phone, you will scroll through and you will see report after report after report. Even as I'm speaking right now, there are new reports coming out, new things that we don't know yet that reporters are typing up and going on the news for and putting out on online. And man, everything has just changed rapidly, and it's continuing to change rapidly. And we have, up to this point, canceled sporting events. We have closed schools. Jobs are on hold. They're happening inside of your homes. Conferences and concerts. The Olympics are postponed. Churches are online. Man, the NFL is talking about doing the draft totally differently, maybe even canceling the season. I'm praying maybe that will actually happen so none of us have to see Tom Brady in a Buccaneers uniform, but we'll just pray and fast for that one and see what happens, but I'm just kidding. But we have travel bans. Man, we have quarantine in homes. You cannot go out unless you're out doing groceries. Every grocery store in America is still sold out of toilet paper, alcohol, and disinfectant wipes. Even the mecca of shopping, Amazon, is out of everything that you could ever dream of. People are now making face masks for self-protection because the world's supply is just completely gone. We have doctors and nurses putting on masks that are completely expired, and they're only supposed to be worn for about 20 minutes, and these doctors and nurses, they're wearing them for 3 days at a time. They're just reusing these masks. And so, man, we are just in a weird place. We're in a weird place as the world. We're in a weird place as a church. We're in a weird place all together. Every last one of us, we are in the strangest position we've ever been in this life. And really, I think among all the chaos, I think the big question is like, so what do we do? What do we do? What's the plan? What do we do? Do we just kind of like ignore this whole thing and have some faith? Do we just ignore the whole thing, put it to the side like it doesn't exist and have some faith? Or do we continue to stockpile beans and rice and ammunition and close our doors and shut out the world? What do we do? What I want to do today is I'd like to talk about what our perspective should be as followers of Christ? As Christians, how can we view this crisis through the lens of Jesus? How can we view this crisis through the lens of the gospel? So I want to talk about what our perspective should be as followers of Christ. And so as a disciple of Jesus, you'll know that the filter that forms our decisions, it's really different than the world's, right? Like our filter that forms our decision-making, it's not the same filter that the world uses. And so our filter, it's not the same as the world's. And the Bible tells us, speaking of the word not, that we should not be conformed to the image of this world, but that we should be transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we can test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So look, we're not of this world, right? We're not like everyone else, right? As Christians, as Christ followers, we are not like everyone else. We are not to live in fear. We're not to live in fear. And so that's actually the title of this message, man. We're calling this message series for the next 4 weeks. We're calling it Not Afraid. Not Afraid. We're not afraid. We as Christ followers, man, we will not live in fear. With an emphasis on not, man. We are not afraid. We're not afraid. And I want to show you three ways in which we're not like the world. I'm going to show you three ways in which we're not like the world. And so if you're taking notes, man, number one, we live by faith and not fear. We live by faith and not by fear. In fact, Jesus, he's comforting his disciples in John chapter 14, verse 1. And this is what he says to them. He says, do not, somebody in your home say not, right? Let's have a little fun with this. Do not, right? Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let your hearts be troubled, he said. You believe in God, believe in me also. And he goes on to say in verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Ready? Because he says, my peace, man, I give it to you. But listen, he says, I do not give it to you as the world gives it. And because I don't give it to you as the world gives it, he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Man, for some of us, we've been living in fear, man. We've been living in fear every day. We've been living in fear. We're anxious all the time. There's this anxiety that's welling up within us, and we're living with this anxiousness, with this fear, and we're afraid of what's going to happen. We're afraid of where the economy's going. We're afraid of where the world's going. But listen, man, we know Jesus. You know Jesus. You have hope, right? We do not live in fear. We don't live in fear. He gives us His peace that it's not from this world, but it's from His kingdom. And so we choose to live by faith and not fear. We choose to live by faith and not fear. I love the way the New Living Translation translate the words of Jesus. It says this. This is the same exact passage. It says, Jesus said, I'm leaving you with a gift. I'm leaving you with a gift. Man, some of you got to receive this gift today. Because the gift He gives, check this out, it's of peace of mind and peace of heart. Peace of mind and peace of heart. So when the entire world is living in fear and when everyone's searching for answers and we're riddled with anxiety, man, you and I, we're just here, we're opening up this gift of God. We're opening up this gift of peace of mind and peace of heart. And it's this peace that's not like anything that this world would understand. It's this peace this world would never get because it's this peace that can only come from heaven. And so Jesus says, and the peace that I give, it's a gift that the world cannot give. So do not be troubled or afraid. Don't be troubled or afraid. Man, I hope that you'll understand. God's not up in heaven doing the one-handed slap, right? Like He's not up there going, didn't see that coming, right? Didn't see this virus coming. Oh my goodness, I don't know what I'm going to do now. I was paying so much attention to U.S. politics, man, Bernie and Biden and Trump going out. I just missed it. Just missed it, didn't see it coming, right, man? At one moment, it was over here in China, and I kind of was watching that a little bit, and I saw it, but I didn't think it was going to go anywhere, and I took my attention off it, and now here it is. I don't know what to do now, right? No, that's not God, right? God is not surprised by this. He's not panicked. He's not taken back. Like, this is not, God's not afraid, right? He's not scared. We got to remember, man, our God is always faithful. He's always faithful. He's always in control. Our God has a plan. He's good, right? And our God will never leave us or forsake us. Scripture tells us that He's working everything, all things, everything, everywhere, every day for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. So He will never leave you or forsake you, right? He's in control. He's in control. So whatever you're going through, man, our God, He's working it out for your good. He's working it out for the good. Whatever battle you're facing, man, God is with you. And if God is for you, then who can be against you? We got to change our perspectives. Our God is present. Our God is present in our situation. Our God is present in our moments. He's present in our homes, and he's always good. And so we, as followers of Jesus, we live by faith and not by fear. We live by faith and not by fear. In fact, speaking of these knots, the Apostle Paul, he said this in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. He said, for God has not, say not, ready? Go ahead, all right. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity. This is what he gave us. God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but he gave us power and love and self-discipline, right? Connect Church, listen to me. We're not panicking. We are not panicking because we have a peace that comes from heaven. We're not fearful because we live by faith. We live by faith. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, for we live by faith and not by sight. For we live by faith and not by sight, right? We live by faith and not by fear. We live by faith, not by fear. So then, how do we respond? How do we respond when the world feels like it's falling apart? How do we respond when it feels like the world is in chaos? Well, I can tell you one thing. We do not respond like the world responds. We do not respond like the world responds. We're not like the world, so we don't think like the world. Number one, we live by faith and not by fear, right? We live by faith and not by fear. Number two, we are sacrificial, not selfish. We are sacrificial, not selfish. I want to be really clear on that. We are not selfish people. As followers of Christ, that's not who we are. Now listen to me, without Christ, without Jesus working in our lives, man, we are incredibly selfish people, aren't we? Just naturally, by nature, we are incredibly selfish people. And many of you, you have kids, so you kind of understand this. You kind of get it, right? How many of you know you never had to teach your two-year-old to be selfish, right? They were born that way. It's a part of them. You never once had to take your child to selfish lessons, right? You never had to bring them in and say, hey, will you make my child selfish, right? Never, nobody ever in the history of the world has done that, right? That's ridiculous. You don't have to teach that. It's a part of our nature. It's a part of who we are. We're born that way. It's a part of our fallen human nature. And so we naturally live these selfish lives. We naturally cling selfishly to these different things. And so our redeemed nature, because of who Christ is and what he did on the cross, man, our redeemed nature, it's not selfish. Our redeemed nature is not selfish because we strive to reflect who Christ is. We strive to reflect his nature and a love like the world has never known outside of Christ. And so as followers of Jesus, we are not selfish, but we are sacrificial in what we do, right? We're not selfish, but we're sacrificial. Paul told the believers this in Philippi, Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. He said, don't be selfish. Don't be selfish. That's not who you are, church. Cut it out. That's not you. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others, but be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Now watch what he didn't say, ready? Paul didn't say, freak out and go get supplies. Go nuts, right? Run to the stores and get all that you can and just take it all for yourselves and your families and your friends, right? No. Philippians 2:4, he actually says, don't look out for your own interests. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too, right? Take an interest in others too. And when I look at the first century believers, the early church, man, they were facing some crazy persecution, right? They were facing some horrible situations. Christians, they were losing their homes. They were losing their families, and at times they would lose their very lives for putting their hope and their trust in Jesus. And so let me tell you what they weren't doing in this moment. As Paul is speaking into this situation, let me tell you what they were not doing. They were not rushing to the Jerusalem Mega Mart to grab emergency supplies. Right? They were not panicking as a church. They were not freaking out and hoarding beans and rice and toilet paper and ammo prepared to go to war with anybody who tried to take it from them. That's not what this church was doing. And we got to understand that as a body of Christ, because of who we are, we put others above ourselves, right? We put others above ourselves, and we have this incredible opportunity during this moment where the world is hoarding and the world is separating and not talking and not, right? We have this incredible opportunity to not be selfish, but to be sacrificial, to be generous, to love our neighbors, to literally love the people around us in our neighborhoods, people maybe in need, right? We have this moment. And I love in the early church in Acts chapter 2, I love what we see about the believers in verse 44. It says that all the believers, that they were together and that they had everything in common. But I love this. This is what I want you to see. Watch what they did. It doesn't say they hoarded. It doesn't say they were selfish. They weren't running around to get their own supplies and get there before everybody else and take. But instead, it says they sold property and possessions. And why did they do it? To give to anyone who had a need. What I hope you'll understand today is that right now in the middle of this great need, while everyone else is hoarding and closing each other out and closing their doors, man, you may have opportunities to love people through generosity in the name of Jesus like never before. You will have moments, you will have opportunities to do things for people and love on people like you've never had before. And maybe there's something in your life, is a product, an item, a thing. Maybe it's not material, but maybe God's blessed you with something, right? Maybe God's given you something. Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's a bed. Maybe it's a chair. Maybe it's, I don't know what it is. Like, God gives us these things and he puts them into our hands. But sometimes we got to think, man, maybe God didn't bless me with it so that I could hoard it to myself, or that so it could all be for me and my family and my interests and everything that makes me happy and me feel safe. But maybe, just maybe, God blessed you with it so that you could bless someone else. Maybe God blessed you to be a blessing. Maybe God gave it to you for a season, but somebody else needs it for a season, right? I don't know what it is, and we all have such different things, and it doesn't just have to be material, right? Maybe spiritually, you have something that people need, right? We all know people who are hurting. We all know people who are afraid, and you have this opportunity to not only give things to people materially, but you have an opportunity to give people hope, to give people hope, to give people joy, to spread the love of Christ all over the place. Man, you could give them companionship, right? You could give them a call. You could talk online. You could go to Facebook Messenger and check in on them and get on a video chat, whatever that may look like. Man, you could drive over to their home, yell up to their window for 20 minutes and just see what's up. Pull up to their door and talk on their porch 6 feet apart for 20 minutes, right? Just check in on people, see how people are doing, man. It doesn't just have to be material. But you can let God use you as you speak into the lives of those who are around you. And maybe they're not saying anything, but they're completely paralyzed by fear. People need you. They need to know what you know. People are scared right now. They're looking for hope. They need to know the gospel. They need to know who Jesus is. They need to know what he did for them. They need your hope. They need your hope. Scripture goes on to talk about this New Testament church. And it says that every day they continue to meet together. Every day they continue to meet together. Every day they continued to meet together. How often? Every day. Every day. Every day they met together. They continued to meet together in temple courts. That was publicly, right? We can't do that right now. They continued to meet together publicly, and they broke bread in their homes, and they ate together, and they were glad and sincere in heart. So they met together publicly, and they met together privately. Social distancing has changed some things. We may not be able to go into homes. We may not be able to come into churches, but we can still meet together regularly, daily, through other measures, right? Through other ways, video chats, calling people, checking on people, driving to their house and staying far, right? Man, there's ways we can do this. What I want you to know, man, is this isn't a once-a-week faith. This whole church thing, this whole following God thing, man, this isn't just this once-a-week kind of faith where we come to church on Sundays and we hang out and we have our Jesus party and we worship and have a good time and learn some things and then go home and throw it away. Man, this is an everyday thing. This is a lifestyle. It's a choice. And every day you wake up and we got to say, man, wherever I am, whatever I might be doing, man, I don't need to be in a church building to be the church. I don't need to be in a building to be the church. Man, we can have church right here, right? Just me and my family, just me and my life group online. It may be encouraging somebody in the middle of a grocery store that you don't even know. It may be praying for somebody in a parking lot. I don't know, right? But wherever you go, you are the church. You carry that with you. You carry Christ with you everywhere you go, and people need to know what you know. So wherever it is, wherever I am, man, this is not a once-a-week faith. It's a daily faith where we're creating new ways to gather, and we're praying, and we're studying God's word, and we're seeking his face, and we're lifting up his name, and we are sharing what he gives us in our everyday faith. We're sharing. Man, maybe you're discouraged. Maybe you're overwhelmed. Maybe you're isolated and you feel alone. Man, I want to speak to some of that. I got to tell you, Connect Church, man, if you're in a small group here and you've backed off from your small group, this is not the moment to back down. This is not the moment to back away. It may be awkward getting on these calls. There may be new faces. There may be some different feelings. It may feel somewhat uncomfortable, and maybe this is unlike anything you've ever had to do before, and it doesn't feel very good. But man, I want to encourage you. If you've fallen away from your small group, if you've fallen away from the people you go to church with, if you've stopped contacting people, if you're not regularly talking with one another, I want to encourage you, get back on that boat, man. Get back up. Keep going. This is not the time to back away. This is not the time to back down. If you have allowed yourself to back off, I want to encourage you, get back in. Keep going. Get on those calls, man. Reach out to your small group leader. Reach out to whoever that is, right? Reach out to your friends if you're not in a small group, right? Spend time. Find ways to talk, to look out for each other. We're not going to abandon our faith. We're not going to abandon the mission because it's not a once-a-week faith. It's not a once-a-week gather-together kind of faith, but it's a daily faith. And so daily we seek God's goodness. Daily we do this. This is a daily thing. And so Scripture says it again. Ready? Let's take a look at Acts chapter 2, verses 46 and 47. Scripture says it again. It says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. What happened? The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I recently heard a statistic just a few days ago that said less than 5% of all Christians invite people to church. Less than 5%. That's a really low number. That means 95% of anybody that goes to church on a regular basis doesn't invite anyone to church, right? 5% invite people. And the moment I heard this statistic, I said, man, isn't it just like God to shut down the churches and force every single church in America and in the world to go online and put the gospel out there for the world to see while everyone is forced to stay in their homes, while you're forced to you're really just scrolling through social media 24/7, right? People are wasting a ton of time that way, right? Just the reality of our situation, right? But what's happening is all of a sudden all these churches, they're flooding the internet. We're forced to get good at live stream and put the gospel out there every single week. And so everywhere the gospel is in our faces and people are stuck at homes and they're seeing this and they're watching this. And I'm going, man, isn't it just like God to mobilize in a mobile church? Isn't it just like him, right? And so even for us, man, we typically minister to about 65 people on a Sunday morning. And after every sermon for the last 3 weeks in a row, we've had over 90 separate devices watching these sermons. That's at least one person behind every single device, maybe two, three, and four. We have no clue the amount of impact just our young church in Auburn, Maine is making on the world. And we're just one of them. We're just one of hundreds and thousands, man. It's insane to think what God is doing through this. And so with all my heart, this is what I want to say. This is why I'm saying this. With all my heart, I believe that God's using this time when people are afraid to show them that there's hope from above, right? To show them that there's hope. And daily during this time of crisis, man, people are being born into the kingdom of God because we're not like this world. We don't function like this world. We're not. We live by faith and not by fear, right? We're sacrificial. We're not selfish, right? It's who we are. And so number three, we shine a light and we don't hide it. We shine our light and we don't hide it, right? Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 to 16. He said this, he said, you, church, you, Connect Church, right? You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, what do? They put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. And in the same way, church, here's your assignment. Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds, and that they may glorify your Father in heaven. You're a light. What do we do with a light? We let the light shine. We don't hide the light, right? You never turn on a lamp in the middle of your living room and throw a blanket over it. That's ridiculous, right? You turned it on to let it shine, to brighten up the whole house, right? We don't hide our light. Don't hide your light. Unfortunately, during this time, there's so many people that feel incredibly unsettled and anxious and unsure, and everyone's just looking for hope. Everyone is looking for hope. Everyone is looking for peace. Well, here's the good news. You're a bunch of radical, faith-filled hope dealers. You are light shiners. You're love givers. Man, it's who we are. It's what we do. This is who we are as a church. This is who we are as Jesus followers. And man, I got to tell you, this virus may be contagious, but I'm praying that during this time that there would be some Jesus followers that would make the love of Christ contagious, that you would bring it with you everywhere you go, that people would hear of who he is every time you open your mouth, that people would gain this hope and joy and mercy that can only be found in Christ. Man, I'm believing that Jesus can bring this gospel faster around this world than he can bring the coronavirus. I believe it, man. I believe it. I know he can. And when this world grows darker, here's the thing. We don't panic like the world, right? We don't freak out like the world. We don't hoard like the world. We don't go into this panic and start doing ridiculous things, right? What do? When the world gets darker, when it's at its darkest moment, that's our moment to shine brighter. That's our moment to shine brighter. When the world is at its darkest is when your light is shining at its brightest. That's our moment. This is our moment. What are we? Man, we're the body of Christ. We don't hide our light. We let it shine. We let it shine. Let it shine for the world to see. I want to have a little fun with this, just to drive this point home. And I want to share some knots with you from the Bible. Because we know as Christ followers that we're not of this world, right? We are not of this world. We do not think like everyone else thinks. And so I want to show this to you, because whenever an angel appeared to announce the birth of Jesus, that angel always said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you news of great joy." When Jesus came to earth, he said, "I did not come for the healthy, but I came for the sick. I did not come for the righteous, but I came for the sinners and the hurting and the broken." The good news is that because we are not of this world, because we're not of this world, we do not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And Jesus, man, he does not lead us into temptation, but he delivers us from evil. And therefore, we do not store up treasures on earth, but instead, we store up treasures in heaven. Jesus teaches us this, ready? He said, "Do not worry about tomorrow, because each day has enough to worry about itself." So as followers of Christ, we walk by faith and not by sight, because God did not give us a spirit of fear. And just like Jesus says, we're not praying for our own will, but your will be done, God. And I thank God for the good news that we're saved by grace and not by works. We're justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation. And therefore, we do not set our minds on earthly things like what you read on social media and what you see on the news and what you see everywhere you look. We do not set our minds on those things, but we set our minds on Christ. Let perseverance finish its work in you so that you will not lack anything. And we, as followers of Christ, we will not grow weary in doing good things, because we know that at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Are we in a battle? Yeah, we sure are, right? We absolutely are. Are times difficult right now? Yeah, they surely are. Is there a lot of opposition? The answer is a definite yes, but our battle is not against people. Our battle's not against people. It's not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers and the authorities and the powers of this dark world. Therefore, we will not overcome evil with evil, because we are the church of Jesus Christ, and we will overcome evil with good. It's who we are. And we know that the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, and so we do not grieve like the rest of mankind grieves. Because we have hope. We have hope. So we will not give up finding ways of meeting together, as Scripture says, because the Lord's our helper. The Lord is our helper, and we will not be afraid. We're not going to be afraid. It's not who we are. We're not going to be afraid. We also know that not everyone who thinks that they're saved are actually born into the kingdom of God. And there's a lot of people across the world, man, who attend a church or they go to church once in a while and they try to do all the good things and they earn that right standing with God, but they don't really know the grace of God, right? Or the love of God or relationship with God. And listen, man, how many know we are not ashamed of the gospel, because the power of the gospel, it's what brings salvation to everyone who believes and calls on the name of Jesus. And so, just like the first century believers living in danger amidst persecution and hardship, while all the world, it felt like it was closing in on them, Connect Church, man, we need to stand with them and say, we cannot stop talking about what we've seen and heard. We can't stop, right? We cannot stop talking. We can't stop. We can't stop praising. We can't stop worshiping. We can't stop giving. We can't stop sharing. We can't stop shining because of what we've seen, because of what we've heard, because of what Jesus has done in my life. I cannot and I will not shut up. And we will not be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and petition, we will, as the people of God, will make known our requests to God. Right? Amen. And his gift to you, the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, that peace, it will guard your minds and your hearts and your souls in Christ Jesus. We are not of this world, Connect Church. We're not of this world. It's not who we are. Therefore, we are not afraid. We do not live in fear. We will not live in fear. And so what do? We live by faith. We live by faith and not fear. We get sacrificial, not selfish. And we shine the light. We don't hide it. We shine our light. We don't hide it. Scripture says in 2 Corinthians, but we have this treasure in jars of clay. But we have this treasure in jars of clay. What does that mean? This treasure it's speaking of inside the jar of clay, that treasure is Christ. That's Jesus. And it's his goodness. It's who he is. Bad news is the clay is us. The mud is us, the thing that's being molded and formed and changed, man. And sometimes that's a little bit uncomfortable, but listen, we have this treasure inside. We have a treasure inside. It's this gift of salvation. We have this power that's dwelling within us to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. But hey, listen, church, we may be pressed on every side. We may be pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. We might be pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. We may be perplexed, but we are not in despair. We're not in despair. We may be persecuted, but we're not abandoned. We may be struck down, but we are not destroyed. Why? Because of who he is. Because of who he is. Because of what he's done. Because of his power. Because of his grace, because of his majesty, because of his truth, because of his presence that will not leave us. It will never leave us or forsake us. Because of who he is, man, we are not afraid. We're not afraid. We refuse to bow to fear, because who are we? We are the body of Christ, and his light will shine brighter in these moments than they've ever shined before. Man, whatever you're going through, whatever you're going through, can you feel his incredible love for you? You know he loves you. God has not abandoned you. He's not forsaken you. Man, he's with you and he's always been with you. He never left you. Man, some of you right now, you've been inside for days and you're looking around in search of life, in search of love, in search of freedom, in search of someone who can save you from yourself, because you know that something's wrong. In and of yourself, you know it. Listen to me, you're not alone. You've never been alone, because God's been with you the whole time, because he never leaves us or forsakes us, and he's good. He's always, always, always good. and he's always loving and always caring and always longing for more. And that's why, church, no matter what comes, no matter what we face, because of Christ, man, we are not afraid. We're not afraid. We're not backing down, right? We are not backing down. We're not afraid. So, man, I just want to pray. I want to take a moment to pray, and then we're going to keep going. Father, today I pray that you would just build the faith of your church. That, God, that our light would shine in the world. Father, for those who are hurting, for those who are sick, Father, we pray for healing. We pray for protection for our people. We pray for protection for our state, our country. God, we pray for a cure. We pray for the global economic impact that this is taking on our world. And we pray for our leaders who are making these hard decisions. But God, we pray that as this world grows darker, that as your church, Father, that our light would shine brighter. Some of you, the truth is, you're living in fear right now. You're scared. You don't know what to do. You don't know where to turn. As we continue praying, man, I want to say that I am absolutely and completely convinced that there may be times when the world does grow really dark and people start looking around for answers. They start looking, they start digging. And man, if you're on here today and you are looking for answers, if you're looking for hope, I got to tell you the best news you could ever hear, man. There's a longing inside of you for something more. There's a longing inside of you that wants something different. It's looking for something new, something different, and something that you cannot find in this world. And you know that because, let's face it, man, you've tried a trillion things. This and that and this, and you've gone after this and that, right? I don't know your story personally, but chances are, man, maybe you thought that money was going to solve your problem and you got the money and now you know it's not. And then maybe you thought it was the relationship. And if you got the relationship, then the problem would disappear. The insecurity would go away. The thing that's deep within your heart that just seems to never get filled, man. It just, you thought it would go. Yet it's still here. You thought maybe fun would fill it. Maybe if you experienced a little more happiness. Maybe if you traveled a little more. Had a few more relationships, right? Maybe if I had these things, man, this feeling would go away, and really, you know, inside you're still empty. You're empty. It's because you're longing for something that this world can never give. You're longing for something that this world could never provide. But here's the good news. The good news is that there's a God that's so much bigger than this world, and yet he still loves the world so much that he sent his son, his one and only son. And you know what I love about God? This is what's so amazing about him, is he didn't just shout out his love from heaven, but instead he sent his son to show us this love on earth by becoming one of us in the person of Jesus, to die on a cross for our sins. So who is this Jesus? Who is this man? He is the Messiah. He's the predicted one. He is the sinless Son of God, perfect in every way, who gave up his life on a cross to pay for our sin, and God raised him from the dead 3 days later so that anyone and everyone, and this includes you, the Bible says that anyone who calls on his name can be saved. Anyone who calls on his name could be saved. And that's why I said earlier, man, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because the gospel has the power to save anyone who believes. And so today, as you watch from wherever you watch, there are those who recognize, man, I don't have peace. I don't have this assurance, man. I don't even know where I stand with God. I don't know. Listen to me, man. The Bible says that when you call on the name of Jesus, that he hears your prayers and he'll forgive your sins. And he doesn't just save us from an eternity away from him, but he saves us from a life of meaninglessness on this earth. So today, as you're watching, wherever you are, there are those of you who'd say, yes, I want that. I want that peace. I want his forgiveness. I want his grace. When you just turn away from your sins and turn towards him, man. Call on the name of Jesus. Call on the name of Jesus and he'll hear your prayer. He'll forgive your sins. He'll make you new. And there's those who would say today, man, I want his grace. I want his mercy. I want to be different. I don't want to be like this world. I want his peace. I want this assurance of eternity with him. If that's you today and you want to turn from your sin and turn towards Christ, and just call on the name of Jesus, man, right where you're at. Just call in the name of Jesus. Say, Jesus, forgive me. Make me new. If that's your prayer, man, right in your home, I just want to ask you, just put yourself in a posture of prayer. If you want to hit your knees, cross your hands, if you want to lift your hands while you stand, if you want to, whatever you want to do, what makes you feel comfortable. But this is what we're going to do. We're going to make this really simple for you. And as men and women are coming to faith all over the place, man, I'm just going to pray this prayer, and you can just repeat after me quickly, and we're just going to call in the name of Jesus and ask him to forgive our sins. So let's do this, man. Pray with me. Repeat after me. Pray. Heavenly Father, forgive my sins. Jesus, save me and make me new. Fill me with your Spirit so I can serve you, and I'll follow you for the rest of my life. My life is not my own. I give it to you. Thank you for new life. Now you have mine. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Somebody celebrate big, because that is something worth celebrating. Connect Church, people are coming to know Jesus this morning. Connect Church, man, I just want to tell you I love you so much. I'm so thankful for every last one of you. We are so excited to get back together and be in this building once again together and just have a party and worship, man. You better believe when we get back, it's going to be a party in this place. But I just want to say, if you are in need, we want to hear from you. If you're not in need, we want to hear from you, man. We miss you. We love you. But if you're in need specifically, Connect Church, man, if there's a need and you come to this church and this is something you need some help, man, we want to be there for you. We want to contribute. We want to see how we can come alongside you and help you out, whether it's financially, whether it's a task, whatever it may be. But we just want to ask you, man, would you just reach out? We want to give this invitation and just don't be scared, man. We're here for you. We love you. We are covering all of you in prayer. And we are just asking God that he would just continue to bless this church as he has through this entire pandemic. And so be safe. Stay home. Save lives. But love each other, man. Love each other. Find ways to stay 6 feet apart and check in on people. I love you. We'll see you next week.